Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert.
Jasmine, today we have a very exciting show. We've been talking about the Ark Park and the Creation Museum for a while, saying we need to do a show about it. And joining us today is Joe Sonka, the... can I call you the king of the Ark Park? The king of the Creation Museum?
The king?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
You own the story, basically, in my mind. I mean, I've been following you. You're writing for...
I think I'm more the jester, maybe.
The jester? Yeah, well, that would work as well. You've been covering the story for a really, really long time. I started reading you way back in the day when you were writing for Bluegrass Roots.
That's right.
Yeah, the website owned by Ben Carter. I guess it was like 2007, so I guess it's been about a decade.
Yeah, it's been a decade. I went to the Creation Museum when it opened the first week. And that was a little over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
In June of 2007.
Wow. So there you go. It's been a full decade since then. You wrote about the Creation Museum on Bluegrass Roots and then moved here as self-published Barefoot and Progressive.
That's when I started following.
Yeah. And then you started writing for the Leo, and now you're with Insider Louisville. And at all those places, you've written about Answers and Genesis and their various Kentucky-based attractions.
They're fun.
Yeah, well,
fun people.
That's well, we're going to talk about that. So, right, you know, there's a couple of stories I think that define your career, and I would say this, and then the big pit in the middle of Lexington is one that you've written about a lot, and then all the stuff that's gone on with the U of L Foundation. Where would you rank the Answers in Genesis stuff among your career stories?
Well, if it wasn't for the first story that I wrote about the Creation Museum, I might not be even doing this. It was kind of, I guess it was 2007. I was sort of writing for Bluegrass Roots at that time. I wasn't really taking it seriously, but I wrote that post, and I cross-linked it to Daily Coast at the time.
You could
post diaries on there. All of a sudden, it was like the most read story on Daily Coast that day, and it was read by thousands and thousands of people, and I got good feedback, and at that point, I just started to take this whole blogging thing a little more seriously.
So. Yeah. I mean, back in those days, you were a pseudonymous. You wrote under a pseudonym.
Sort of. Yeah. I also wrote a media criticism column for one of the monthly publications in Louisville under a media check, and
right.
I had my name on it though. So.
Oh, really?
You didn't really have to search very hard to know who I was.
Was it Ace Weekly?
It was pre-Ace Weekly. It was Nougat magazine.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Was it in Louisville or Lexington?
That was in Lexington.
That's what I thought. Yeah, wow, man. That's a long time ago. It's been a decade. Anyways, just so we get a little bit of background about this issue. So for listeners who don't really know exactly how or why we have these two creation-based theme parks in the middle of our state, the Ark Encounter Creation Museum, they're in Northern Kentucky, and they're operated by a group called Answers in Genesis, which is what they call a Christian apologetics organization. The group Answers in Genesis was actually founded in Australia by a man named Ken Ham, who moved to the United States in the 90s and located Answers in Genesis in Northern Kentucky in 1994. And I think he did that because he said it was an hour's flight from like a large percentage of the population of the United States. So it's just basically a strategy move, to put it here.
And right after the release of Jurassic Park, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. I didn't even think about that. But yes, dinosaurs become important to this story.
He's a fantastic capitalist.
Yeah, that's, you know what? He absolutely is. It's true. He's strikes when the iron is hot on the dinosaur issue, at least. And back in those days, Ken Ham operated as a speaker and radio personality, and he published a magazine and a few books. So yes, absolutely a big capitalist. What was the first, did you know about Answers in Genesis before the Creation Museum came into existence?
I did. It was a little before the opening of the Creation Museum. It was actually, I kind of found it, I had a friend who taught high school, I think at Lexington Christian Academy, in Lexington at the time, and he shared with me the biology textbook that they were using in their science class, and I looked at it, and it had pictures of Adam riding a lion next to a dinosaur,
nice,
in the Garden of Eden. It had a chapter on why bees used to not sting human beings until there was sin in the world.
Wow, nice.
It was something I hadn't really seen before. I'd heard of people that thought that dinosaurs were a myth, or they were actually demons or something. I've heard a lot of crazy stuff, but then I was really interested in, and I kind of found the whole Answers in Genesis thing.
Yeah.
So when it opened, I was very pumped up and ready to go to that.
Yeah. My sisters, actually, I have two sisters, and they both attended Christian Academy of Louisville for a few years, and they actually moved to public school when they came home, and my mom was like, well, what'd you learn in school today? Adam and Eve lived with dinosaurs, and the earth is 6,000 years old. My mom was like,
oh no.
that's exactly what happened. And my mom was like, what? And then she was like, there's no way that's right. And then somebody gave her a tape, and she was like, yeah, I think we're gonna go to public school next year. So that's what happened. And in my family, that's how I learned about Answers in Genesis. So like we said, Answers in Genesis, their central purpose is to advocate for the belief that the earth is significantly younger than it actually is. They say it's about 6,000 years old, and then all of the implications thereafter.
So many implications.
Right, exactly. And then it's like every other fact of the world seems to have to fit into that framework. So they claim that the book of Genesis gives clear answers as to the age of the planet, whatever.
And everything that happened after 600-year-old Noah landed the ark after the flood, and how humans populated after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, yeah, everything.
With the eight people that survived.
That
were all related.
They were all related, and so we're all related. And all of our genetic diversity all came from that. Right. So the Creation Museum itself opened in May of 2007, which you said you went right after that. It was under construction for 6 years. The museum cost $27 million to build, but all of the funds were privately raised to build the Creation Museum. Later on, the Commonwealth of Kentucky did include the attraction on some of its sponsored signs, like on the road signs. It's like Unbridled Spirit Creation Museum. And I remember there was like one meme, I guess, a while ago of like the Unbridled Spirit horse that was a dinosaur.
Yeah, yes. I held a Photoshop contest.
Oh, was that you?
Okay. It was after the infamous Bashir press conference, and when she announced that they were going to get, I think at the time it was close to $50 million of tax incentives. It was lowered much,
right?
Much more after that. But I had a Photoshop contest to add.
So that was
so all things Bashir, Creation Museum
Bashir
go back to
Dino theme.
Yeah,
Joe Sanka. Yeah.
So later, the bigger controversy around public policy with the Creation Museum was more around, there were a lot of public schools that were taking field trips there, which brought a lot of church and state controversies to light, and also these weird road signs. But back in the early days, what do you remember about this saga? Like, what is it? What was the first thing that stood out to you? I mean, you wrote that blog post, like you said, back in 2007 that got a lot of traction. Were you surprised by that, or how much reaction that it got? Or
I was surprised because I had never written anything that so many people had read before. But on the other hand, I wasn't really surprised because it was just amazing. I mean, I'd never seen anything like this. And again, this was a $27 million museum, and I was just so shocked by so many things I saw in there, and it definitely opened my eyes to Ken Ham, who is a very talented man.
Right.
I'll say that.
When did you first meet Ken Ham?
Oh boy!
Because your Twitter banner is currently you like hugging him, right? Or
I think I only met him one time.
Is that the only time you met him?
Yeah, okay. They had an event at the Creation Museum in which they were pitching making a pitch to people who wanted to invest in the Ark Park.
Okay.
And so me and my friend Daniel Phelps, who's written about Ken Ham even more than I have in Answers in Genesis, we went there and stood there with the potential investors and got their whole pitch on what the Ark Encounter was going to be, and got kind of a sneak peek of what the park would look like. And afterwards, we both took pictures with Ken Ham, and
nice.
Ken said, "Say dinosaur" when he took my picture.
That's awesome. That's great. When do you think that Ken Ham first became aware? I mean, obviously, he's faced a lot of criticism, and he's very aware of that. Do you feel like he's reactive to that at all, or does he just use it to fuel his empire further?
Well, he loves critics because critics equal fundraising. Mm-hmm. So every time someone criticizes him, whether it's the secular media or angry atheists on blogs, he turns it into direct fundraising pitches. So he loves to have the enemy in order to rile up the base. And in ways, he's a lot like a politician and that the fundraising emails that you get from politicians, they're all, look at this terrible thing that our enemies did. We need to unite or they're going to destroy us. And mm-hmm. Ken Hams are exactly the same way. These are the people that are going to corrupt your children and send them to hell if you don't give me money and help out.
Right.
So the first time I knew that he was directly aware of me was, I think when he wrote the 1,000-word fundraising email that was all about how mean I was to him.
Nice. Nobody's ever done that to me.
Yeah. Well, I'd written about the Creation Museum was going to have a date night there. And since since they're so very, very homophobic and anti-gay, I made a joke that it would be funny if we got a nice gay couple to come to the date night. Just out of pure coincidence, I was going to take a date there, and the last second she dropped out.
Oh, no.
And there was a buddy who was a friend of mine. I was like, well, you want to come with me? He was sure. I was driving from D.C., where I lived at the time, and I actually showed up late, and they had actually kicked him out because he said that his date was a man, and they had apparently read my blog and were expecting me to bring a gay couple. And so that made a big scene, and that was, like, reported, and I think it got in, like, the New York Times or something ridiculous. I think it was a trivia question on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, nice.
what museum kicked out a gay couple? So, obviously, Ken Ham, like, wrote a fundraising email saying how these terrible people were trying to ruin our wholesome date night at the Creation Museum.
Right. I mean, and you've had intersection with national media on several occasions regarding the Creation Museum and Answers to Genesis, right? You've been on Rachel Maddow's show a few times. And
probably my favorite Answers in Genesis moment was the press conference that Steve Beshear held to tout the Ark Park and all of the millions of dollars of state tax incentives he was anxious to give them. And Steve Beshear held the press conference. This was late 2010, I believe. And he presented the Answers in Genesis officials, presented what the Ark would be. Steve Beshear said how this is going to create jobs and this is going to be great. And no one really talked about what was actually going to be at the park right. Besides a big recreation of Noah's Ark. So I asked Governor Beshear if there would be dinosaurs on the Ark. And he gave me a blank stare that it felt like it lasted about 10 seconds. So it wasn't really that long. But eventually I cut into it and said, maybe the Answers in Genesis official behind you can answer. And people got him to come up to the mic. And he said, well, it's going to be biblically accurate. So of course.
So yes, dinosaurs.
Of course there will be dinosaurs on the Ark. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. And that made national news. I remember that was on the Rachel Maddow show and I guess some other places as well.
Yeah, that kind of spread around. It was a very special moment.
You were also the one that figured out about the Bowling Green Massacre, right?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, I remember those as like, that was probably, I don't know, those are recent major news stories broken by Joe Sanka, Dinosaurs on the Ark and the Bowling Green Massacre. Okay, well, we've been talking about the Ark Park and the Creation Museum, and they are very similar. They're created by the same people, but they are a little different. Actually, in my mind, they're significantly different. The Creation Museum is very embarrassing as like a, you know, as in it's
you
very...
You haven't explained the difference yet.
It's very factually inaccurate, but I think the bigger public policy scandal is probably the Ark Encounter, the theme park. It's the Creation Museum's cousin. It's about an hour south of... I always pictured these things as like next door to each other.
I always thought that they were too.
But they're not. They're like an hour apart. But it was conceived in 2011 and opened in 2016. But it's been the recipient of lots of massive tax breaks from the state of Kentucky. So originally, the city of Williamstown operated a TIF, which...
you should know what that
means. If you listen to our show often, you know what that means. But the city of Williamstown began a TIF in 2013 in and around the park. 75% of property taxes are retained by the park. So this has only ever been reported in one Newsweek article, which said that sales taxes are also remitted, but cities can't assess sales taxes in Kentucky. So
probably occupational.
That's what I was wondering. It probably meant occupational taxes. So this TIF helped AIG to raise about $62 million in bonds, which those were what they were trying to sell when you went to...
Yes.
Yes, right. There you go.
I think that was a different version that they actually sold. They didn't sell the ones that...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a much more complicated story, but they sold $62 million in bonds and there was a whole process and Bill Nye was involved. He said, oh, we weren't going to sell them all, but then I debated Bill Nye and then all of a sudden, when people bought the bonds.
I totally believe that too.
He
totally helped Ken Ham with fundraising by doing that.
Well,
I couldn't believe that he did that, but he did.
Bill Nye probably helped himself out too. He's got a Netflix show now.
At the end of the day, they both need it.
So, in addition to the city of Williamstown and their TIF, the state of Kentucky made available $18 million in tax incentives. And you said it was larger at some point, but they cut it down to $18 million.
It was much larger. At first, it was not just going to be the big boat. There was going to be a Tower of Babel.
Right.
There was going to be all these different things, including my favorite thing, which I think they still plan to do in the future. It's and this is not a joke. They proposed a 10 plagues of Egypt ride.
Oh, nice. A ride.
Yes. It's like a ride. It was kind of like one of those.
How are they going to kill the first
one? It was like one of those, because they did a rendering of it, and it was kind of, you know, how Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, sure.
Like a slow thing. Mm-hmm. And you would go through the locust and the, you know, the really lovely stories that are good for family vacations.
I had totally forgotten all about this, but now it's all coming back to me.
Yeah. I mean, which one do you want your family to see? Probably. I mean, I am a firstborn, so this is like very traumatic for me. So anyways, at the end of the day, the state of Kentucky made available $18 in tax incentives through the Economic Development Cabinet, and that would have rebated a portion of the sales taxes generated by the park. But the Bashir administration eventually did revoke these tax incentives in December of 2014. But then Governor Bevin was elected. In the meantime, while he was being elected, AIG sued and won their case. Governor Bevin then had a chance to appeal, but he did not.
And wasn't the reason it was revoked because the park said they were only going to hire Christians to work there?
Well, part of the reason that they got the incentive is they agreed not to do that. They would not discriminate based on that. But then after they did that, of course, you could see all their job applications said you had to agree to the certain biblical principles and make a mission statement and all this thing. And the Bashir administration officials said, hey, this isn't what you agreed to.
Right. So at the end of the day, they did get the tax incentives, though, even though, and I guess that they never really changed the way that they hired, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, it's a theme with them. They're a nonprofit religious organization when it suits them. They're a for-profit company when it suits them. So when it comes to getting tax breaks from the state, we're a company. We're a company, and therefore we're eligible. But when it comes to having to abide by certain non-discrimination laws, when it comes to certain things like that, no, we're religious, nonprofit. You can't persecute our religious beliefs. So and we're seeing this now with the local tax that Williamsburg put on them.
Right. Right, and we'll get to that, but we're still back in the time with that Ark Encounter was coming to fruition and they're getting all these tax incentives. The last piece that was slightly controversial was, in order to accommodate increased traffic, about $1 million was approved on the last day of the 2014 General Assembly as part of the transportation bill. Maybe that's not such a big deal, but do you get the sense that the reason that Governor Bashir, different people who, you know, are supportive of this, but kind of hesitantly, do you think that their support of this is economic development purely, or do you think that there's an ideological component, or why do you think that people are, you know, that our public officials are constantly giving tax breaks to a large arc that supports pseudoscience?
Well, Bashir, it was late 2010, and as we know, in 2011, he had an election coming up against David Williams, and at the time, well, he would go on to win in a blowout, but at the time in late 2010, people thought it would be a pretty close race. This was right after Republicans had just swept Congress with the Tea Party wave, and people thought that this might be the year that Republicans were able to take back the governor's mansion. So this was Bashir able to say, hey, I'm creating all these jobs in rural Grant County, Kentucky, and it was a way to signal to religious conservatives that that he was on their side. So I think that's obviously why Bashir threw his arms around it, and that would be complicated years later when he was both in his second term and felt a little more free, maybe,
right?
Or perhaps they just honestly felt that they were jilted by the Ark Park and officials and were sold a bill of goods.
Right.
I think this is where you're getting to. The Ark Encounter was recently hit with a 50 cent per ticket fee. And even though the Ark was given a significant deal by the local governments within the jurisdiction where it resides, Grant County faced a significant budget issue and they are in dire straits. So the Ark Encounter did not want to pay the fee. and after a kind of negotiation with the local government failed, decided to transfer its ownership to a nonprofit entity owned by Ken Ham for $10. However, that plan resulted in the state of Kentucky telling the organization that it would no longer be eligible for the $18 million in economic development tax incentives. So the Ark Encounter was then transferred back to the for-profit entity that originally owned it and is now paying the 50-cent fee.
The names of all these things are also like really crazy.
Crosswater Canyon.
What is Crosswater Canyon?
I don't know.
Like, what is that?
It just kind of rolls off the tongue, you know? Yeah.
The Ark Park is kind of the story that just keeps on giving. What is the next scandal that you foresee coming out of Answers in Genesis?
I don't know about scandal, but I guess the next thing I'm looking at is what tourism,
right,
what the tourism department's going to do, because this is, because the letter that they sent to the Ark Park officials are basically saying, like, you've reneged on the agreement. So does that mean that Ark Park has to reapply to this, or are we just going to pretend that those two transfers didn't actually happen and we just go forward? We go forward. And then you have the very special part of this is this weekend when you have Matt Devin visiting Ken Ham at the Ark Park and taking a beautiful selfie of the two.
With Stephen Curtis Chapman. Don't forget him.
I don't even know who that is.
Count yourself blessed. He's a popular Christian.
Hashtag blaster.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe not that. Okay. But he's a popular Christian. Is it pianist or a... He sings in songs and
is
stuff.
Is this Christian? Singer, Christian?
Yeah.
Christian like rock?
Christian
kind of
rock
thing?
Kind of guy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
Christian contemporary, I guess.
Gotcha.
And so I guess that kind of belays the fact that we probably will just ignore the fact that those two transfers happened since the governor is there with Ken Ham.
Maybe. I don't know. Or does the tourism cabinet have some degree of independence? Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah, and and this is something I think is kind of interesting. And you mentioned how much of a master messenger that Ken Ham is with.
Yes.
They do all this, like, it seems kind of legitimate market research into like how much demand to expect from their parks. Mm-hmm. I guess that they do a good job of setting expectations because they do always report that they exceeded their expectation for visitors or revenue generated. Do you think that those are doubtful figures, or do you think that they're just good at messaging, or how do you think that works?
Well, first of all, I believe the estimate was over 2 million visitors in their first year. And this independent study was done by the co-author of several of Ken Ham's books.
So right. Yes, that's right. The market research guy was the guy who wrote the books.
Yeah.
Yes.
But these are all just figures they're saying. Mm-hmm. There's no way to independently verify.
So they're not verified figures. They're just
no. The only thing that can be verified is how much is being paid in terms of sales taxes. We're going to see some figures coming up when we see how much revenue they're generating, mm-hmm. and how much of that TIF revenue they're going to receive. That'll be a good indicator of whether they're actually meeting what was being expected.
Right, and that's pretty interesting to me because, I mean, obviously we have a TIF here in Louisville with the Yum Center, and that's vastly underperformed its projected revenues. You know, we will see the figures based on like how much money that gets remitted to the Ark Park. So we will actually see, you know, how much revenue it generated. And if it's like any other TIF, it probably will vastly underperform what they said that they would do. And this story about Grant County assessing this fee is kind of funny to me because it's like, it isn't related. Like the city of Williamstown is like fully prepared and they were like, okay, this is how much revenue we're giving up. We're going to have to budget to it. Grant County has this, their problems are somewhat independent of the Ark Park. They have like a jail that they spent a bunch of money to build and then couldn't fill. And then all of a sudden they're running these huge deficits and they're like, what can we do? Oh, there's a huge attraction here. Let's just slap a tax on it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that they were kind of blindsided, but that was what set in motion this transfer and then transfer back. Are they at risk of having additional taxes placed on them? Or do you think that if the Ark Encounter underperforms what it said it would be able to do, like in terms of economic development, that the local officials, which are somewhat independent of the state, do you think that they may start to place more taxes or try to generate more revenue off of the parks?
I don't know. I know that in terms of business activity picking up, apparently Dry Ridge, which is a little north of the Ark Park, has picked up a little bit, but Williamstown, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. Williamstown expected that all these people were going to were going to take the short drive into downtown and, right. and spend their money there. But they're just, instead of going to a restaurant there, they're just going to the restaurant that's at
in the park
encounter. Mm-hmm. Instead sure. of buying goods at the downtown store, they're just buying goods in the gift shop at Ark Encounter. But I don't know. We'll see if Ark Encounter starts getting 2.5 to 3 million visitors, maybe they won't have to do any taxes. That parking lot they have is just so big, and it's very rarely. Well, it's never been full. But the time that I went, Ark Park in the first week, and there was just a little tiny portion of the parking lot that was full, and there was probably well over 3/4 of it was just empty. So there's a lot of room for growth.
room for growth at the Ark Park. Yeah, well, they do have to build the Tower of Babel and the Plagues of Egypt.
I really hope they build that. Yeah, I mean, if this Ark Park sticks around and it's viable for several years, I really hope they go straight to the 10 Plagues of Egypt ride, because I would like to ride that.
Will it be like one of those things with like animatronic? They have animatronic people at all their stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, they absolutely do, and they're really great.
I was reading, apparently, like the guy that built them is the same guy that designed like some of the major attractions at Disney World, or maybe that's just a thing they put on their website.
possibly. I mean, they wouldn't write something that was false. I mean,
no, of course not. Well, and wasn't there like one of the more interesting controversies that they had was that the guy who played Adam was like a pornography star?
Oh, I had forgotten about that. Yeah. I actually, I believe I was there and actually saw the video before they pulled it, because I went right when it opened. But yeah, they quickly pulled that video and had a replacement Adam for that portion.
Are there any other, you know, good Ark Park stories or good Creation Museum stories that we're missing?
Oh, there's so many. I could talk all day. I just like to go. I mentioned at the beginning what a great capitalist Ken Ham is, and he refers to dinosaurs as missionary lizards.
Oh my gosh!
And it is all about getting the kids, and whatever kids happen to be into at that time, he crafts his whole marketing message around it. So. Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park, everything about the Creation Museum in Answers in Genesis was dinosaur based. That dinosaurs and humans interacted, and
yeah. And I remember when Game of Thrones first came out on TV, there were like a big dragon exhibit.
There was that one kids movie that was all about like how to train a dragon or something. Right, yeah. There was Harry Potter. There was lots of dragon things, and all of a sudden you saw Ken Ham switch his emphasis to all about dragons. Yeah. Dragons were real. Fire-breathing dragons were real.
Okay.
And that was a huge marketing focus for Ken Ham. And I guess, are there anything with giants right now? Because this seems to be his new...
They did a Disney BFG movie.
Like the Roald Dahl book that they turned into a movie.
Oh, yeah, is that already out?
Yeah, that was out
It's on Netflix
year.
Now.
This is a new thing for Ken Ham is giants. That giants were real before the flood. In the Creation Museum, I don't think there was any reference to giants. But in the Ark Park, there's a section where it's all the evil things that were happening before the flood, and it's like just kind of silly things. And then there's giants, and it had these huge giants that were...
Are the giants bad?
Yes, the giants are wicked.
Okay, wicked giants.
Yeah. And so that's in the Ark Park, and they have a new diorama where it's kind of like a Roman Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of like people fighting each other, it's a contest between three species, I guess you call it. there's a human fighting a dinosaur. And also, there are giants in there. So it's giants versus humans versus dinosaurs.
Oh, wow.
Which actually happened. And which I find really fascinating, because if it's a battle in a Colosseum between giants, dinosaurs, and humans, like, do alliances come into play there? Do humans team up with the giants to take on the dinosaurs? Do the dinosaurs team up with the humans?
Well, I mean communication becomes an issue there, too.
Totally.
Do giants speak English, or do people speak English? Because, or, you know, this is pre-Tower of Babel, so everybody speaks the same language?
Yes,
or
exactly. Oh, that's a very good point.
Yes, I don't know.
So many questions.
That's a good, yeah, there's all kinds of, yeah, but that's a very interesting point about, like, how it kind of follows the culture, and, I mean, he does focus very heavily into marketing, and that's the reason why it's in Kentucky in the first place, is because we're so close to everybody else. So
yeah. And also I have I have a very impressive collection of Ken Ham books. He produces so many books. I have a good friend of mine was actually homeschooled and he was raised on Ken Ham's all Ken Ham's materials that Answers in Genesis sells. And he used to work at a used bookstore, and every time he would see one, he would set it aside for me. So I have a very nice collection of Ken Ham books. My favorite being when two kids have this time machine and they go back to the Garden of Eden. And
so these are,
and they go through all these time periods in the past. You have the Garden of Eden where you have T-Rexes like eating bananas off of a tree because they were all vegetarian back then. And then they go to a time when people are riding caravans through the desert on riding on camels and on saddled dinosaurs.
Nice.
You have Eskimos going through the Arctic with a dinosaur carrying their all their bags. Lots of amazing stuff like that.
This is a novel? Like a novel? It's like a story? Or
no,
is
this
it?
Is science. Right?
Oh, okay.
This is science.
Okay.
Yeah. These are science books to teach your kids
about
the creation of Earth and mm-hmm. biology.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the history of the Answers to Genesis in the state of Kentucky. Jasmine, how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter at @myoldkypod. You can like our Facebook page. You can find our show notes on Medium, and you can find our podcast on pretty much any podcasting app of your choice.
All right. Thanks, Joe, so much for joining us and being so informative about the Ark Park and the Creation Museum.
Thanks for having me.
I think everybody learned something. All right. We'll see you guys next week.